Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. That's something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Acts of the Apostles, where we've been following the appearances of Christ. And as we pick up today's lesson in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we'll continue with the command of Jesus as he encourages the apostles to not leave Jerusalem. So if you have your Bible nearby, let's follow along as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But it says concerning him in verse 3 that he showed himself alive to his disciples by many infallible proofs. And during those 40 days, it says he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, Jesus would just sort of, you know, come in and out of fellowship with them and speak to them about the things pertaining to the kingdom. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now, you notice what Luke is doing. Luke is going back. In his gospel, he gives us the account of the ascension of Jesus. But now as he picks up the story, he goes back a little bit because the main emphasis that he's going to make here is on this whole matter of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John baptized with water. Jesus, his particular mission, apart from his mission to save us through his death and his resurrection, his particular mission apart from that was to baptize us, not in water like John did, but to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Now, the word baptism, it means immersion. So that gives us a picture, doesn't it? So when we're talking about the baptism in the Spirit, we're talking about an immersion in the Spirit. Being immersed in the Spirit of God. What a glorious prospect to be immersed in the Spirit. But that's the promise of the New Testament. That's the very thing that Jesus said to these guys that they were to wait in Jerusalem for. Now remember, he has given them what we call the Great Commission. He's commissioned them to go into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. But yet, he says, wait, don't go yet. Why couldn't they go yet? Because even though they had been with Jesus for 3 years, even though they had received what you might call their seminary education, their theological training, and even though they had a little bit of hands-on experience, they still needed something that would enable them to accomplish his commission. They needed the Spirit of God to empower them. And so he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now remember, this is something that they had been wondering about all the way along. As you go through the Gospels, they were always anticipating that The kingdom was about to be restored. They really had no concept, as we see from studying the Gospels, of what Jesus had come to do. They had only that one side of the messianic mission, that side of setting up the kingdom, but they failed to see completely that the Messiah was to first lay the foundation for the kingdom, a righteous foundation, by giving his life for sin. So they're always completely clueless when it comes to the true mission of Jesus. Well, finally, they got it. I mean, they couldn't have missed it. It happened. And now he's died. He's risen again. He's proven that he is alive to them, and he's meeting with them and teaching them still for those 40 days. He's instructing them. And so they're thinking, all right, now must be the time. Now must be the time to restore the kingdom to Israel. But Jesus, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. You see, they still, at this point, although they knew obviously that the plan of Christ was different than what they originally thought, they still didn't get the picture. And they were thinking, okay, he's gone to the cross. We didn't know he was going, but he went. He died there on the cross. We didn't anticipate that, but he did die. But he's risen again. He's truly the Messiah, no question about it. So now must be the time to establish the kingdom. Because after all, the scriptures promised that the Davidic kingdom would come back into power, and that the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David and rule over the house of Jacob forever. So they were figuring this must be the time, and who could blame them? But you see, the Lord had a completely different plan, one that they were not aware of at this point. It was a plan to take this gospel and now to spread it all throughout the whole world, and to bring the salvation that he provided upon the cross, not just to Israel, but to all of the nations. And so he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. You know, Bible prophecy is an exciting thing, but I do think it's possible to lose the balance. You see, Jesus is going to come again. God is going to set up his eternal kingdom based in Jerusalem with Jesus Christ upon the throne of David. But you know what? That is the Lord's work. That's his job. That's not really our job. We have another job to do. And that job is to get the gospel to people. And I think sometimes with prophecy, people get so wrapped up in just all of the speculation and all of the possibilities and any new thing that comes along, trying to find some scriptural reference to it. Like, for example, when the Twin Towers were destroyed. You know, there are people that searched through the Bible and found places where towers were referenced and said, look, right here, the prophecy of what happened in New York City on September 11, 2001. No, I'm sorry. That was not prophesied. But sometimes people get caught up in these things and they spend all of their time searching for some obscure thing that nobody else has seen. But here's what we're to be all about. Verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You see, Jesus had a completely different plan. It was a plan to get his message out to the world, and these guys were going to be his messengers. And you know, I believe that we're living close to the time when the Lord is going to return. But I don't know how long we have. But I do know this. We're not to be sitting around trying to predict the time of the second coming of the Lord. We are to be busy. We are to be doing the same thing these guys were commissioned to do. We are to be getting the gospel out to people that have not heard it. And so he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, the word for power, the Greek word, is the word dunamis. And let me give you a number of ways that dunamis is translated into English from our Bible. Dunamis is translated wonderful works, mighty works, miracles, mighty deeds, strength. So Jesus said that you shall receive wonderful works, mighty works, miracles, mighty deeds, strength. When? When the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You see, the Lord has supplied us with a dynamic power. The word dunamis is the word from which we get our English word dynamic, or we get our word dynamite. That's the kind of power that God has made available to us as servants, a dynamic power. And what is that power to be? It's power to be a witness for the Lord. Now, he says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Now, this is an important point. The Holy Spirit has different ways in which he ministers to us. In John chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus said regarding the Spirit, he said, he dwells with you and he shall be in the future in you. Now, he's talking to his apostles at that moment, and he says to them regarding the Holy Spirit, he's telling them about the coming of the Spirit. He's telling them about this new experience they're going to have. But then he says to them, he says, now he dwells with you presently. So they, at that time, were being helped along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was coming alongside of them. The Holy Spirit is actually referred to as the helper. The Greek word, the parakletos. And that word, those two words together, mean one who comes alongside to assist you. And so Jesus says to them, at that point in time, he said, the Holy Spirit is helping you. He's come alongside to assist you. He's with you. And then he said, but he shall be in you. And after Jesus died and rose again, the Spirit then began this new relationship with man of residing in us. The Holy Spirit being in us is something that is the direct result of the death and the resurrection of Christ, the glorification of Jesus. So he's in us now. He dwells in us. In John chapter 20, Jesus is risen from the dead. The disciples are gathered together. We already mentioned it. They're gathered together in that upper room. He appears to them. And it says there that he commissioned them. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. He gives them that apostolic authority. And then it says this, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And I believe that at that moment, they were born again. The Spirit of God took up residence in them. Remember, he had been with them, Jesus said already. But now as Jesus breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they received the Holy Spirit in the indwelling sense. The Holy Spirit came and then indwelt them. But here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're introduced to a different, yet another relationship between the believer and the Holy Spirit. And that is, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And so the idea is that the Spirit of God would come upon us. You know, back in the Old Testament, you find those men who were the servants of God, the various prophets, and you see them doing exploits. You see them doing mighty things, great power. Think of Samson, the power of God demonstrated in Samson's life as the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he would slay the Philistines, 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey. You think of David, the Spirit of God comes upon him and he slays Goliath. Or as he goes out to battle against the enemies of God, he's victorious. Why? Because the Spirit of God is upon him. Now that happened back in the Old Testament to just a few people. It wasn't the experience of every Israelite to have the Spirit of God come upon them. There were just a select few. But what happened with them was a foreshadowing of what would come upon those people who would believe in Jesus after he was glorified. And so when we're talking about this power, the Spirit coming upon us, we're talking about that same kind of dynamic, the dynamic we see in the lives of the judges and the prophets, these men who had the power of God mightily demonstrated in their life, the Spirit of God coming upon them and really equipping them to serve Christ. And so Jesus said, the Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses to me. Now, what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying that when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall then live and act and speak in such a way as to convince people of my resurrection, my grace, and my lordship. And you will do that beginning in Jerusalem, and then you'll go to Judea, and then you'll go to Samaria, and then you will go in that power to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's exactly what they did. Now, here's the interesting thing, that prior to that baptism with the Spirit, prior to the Spirit coming upon them, although they were godly, although they had an amount of understanding and an element of wisdom, they did not have what they really needed to get the job done that the Lord had given them. And you see, here's a reality. We can be Christian people. We can be godly people. We can be people who know the Lord and have an amount of wisdom in our lives, but we can be lacking the power of God to really be able to impact our world like he wants us to. And we need that. But here's the wonderful thing. He gives it freely. This isn't something that the Lord, you know, sort of just withholds and reserves only for a special few. That happened in the Old Testament. The promise of the New Testament is that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. You see, all of us are to be empowered to be his witness. All of us are to have the Spirit of God upon our lives so that we're living and acting and speaking in such a way as to convince people of the resurrection and the grace and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we start right in our own home and then out from there. We each have a Jerusalem. We each have a Judea. We each have a Samaria. We each have an uttermost part of the earth. Each local congregation has a similar sort of thing. And the Lord wants to empower us to get his message out to people. Now, they were told to wait. And the reason for that is because the appointed day for the Spirit to be poured out was still in the future. You see, Jesus was with them 40 days. The Spirit was to be poured out 10 days later on the day of Pentecost. So they had a 10-day period. From the time Jesus ascended until the time the Spirit was given, there was a 10-day period. And so Jesus said to them, wait in Jerusalem. But you see, that day when the Spirit was poured out has long since come and gone. We today no longer need to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We simply need to receive it by faith. You see, it's available to us today. We don't have to wait for it. It's available to us so that if we sense that we don't have that dynamic power operating in our lives, we simply say, Lord, I want to receive that power. I ask you to impart that power to me. And you know, you receive it really just like you received Christ for your salvation. When you heard the gospel, you knew that you were a sinner. You knew that you needed to get saved. What did you do? You said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And then what did you do? You believed that he did. And you acted accordingly, right? Now, for some, there might have been a great emotional experience. Some of you might have felt the presence of the Lord. Some of you might have been so broken that you were shedding tears, maybe even sobbing, just so touched by the presence of God and a feeling of the love of God and His mercy and all that. But yet for others, although you were just as born again as those who had the great emotional experience, you didn't really have much of an experience at all. Except for the fact you know that something happened in your life. You know that your life changed. You know that you're not the person you used to be. Well, you know, the same thing happens with the Spirit coming upon us. Some people have a great emotional experience and they just sense, oh, the Holy Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit. Oh, I felt that. I just felt that presence of the Lord come upon me. And, oh, I felt the love of God and I felt so warm. And, you know, I had all these feelings. And that can happen. But other people, they don't have that sensation. They don't have that experience. But yet something indeed happens. What happens is there's a new sense of commitment to the Lord. There's a new passion for the things of God. There's a new hunger for His Word. There's a new desire for the things of the Spirit. There's a disinterest in the things of the world. You see, that's the Spirit coming upon you, working in your life. Now, the primary evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, it's not prophesying, it's not doing those kinds of things per se. The primary evidence of the baptism of the Spirit is power to serve Christ. Suddenly you're just swept up in the power of God and you find that God's opening doors and you're stepping in and He's supplying you the ability to do the things that He's putting before you. Not everyone becomes a Peter or a Paul, or a John Wesley, or a Dwight Moody, or a Billy Graham, or some other great evangelist. Not everyone becomes that. And as we go through Acts, we'll find that there are those few leading figures like Peter, like James, like Paul, Barnabas, people like that. But then there are just a large number of ordinary Christians, but each and every one empowered by the Spirit, serving Christ in their realm, serving Christ according to their capacity in the power of the Spirit. And so that's what the Lord had not only for them, that's what the Lord had for us as well. And let's just read from verse 9 through verse 12. It says, "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." And so there it is. The Lord has ascended, and they are waiting to receive that power. And as I said already, they had to wait because the day had not yet come, the appointed day. And we don't have to wait. And if you sense a lack of the power of God in your life, then just ask Him to fill you with the Spirit, to fill you in a fresh way. Perhaps you know you've been filled with the Spirit in the past, but it just doesn't seem like that dunamis is there in your life presently. Well, we need to be refilled. We need to be filled over and over again. And I think as often as we sense that we're not filled, we ought to ask the Lord to fill us again. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you love the Lord. Maybe you believe His Word. Maybe you're very devoted and committed, but you've never really sense the power of God, and you don't really have a sense of a calling of God upon your life and an area of service that He's designated for you. That can be the result of not being filled with the Spirit. Remember, those guys, they were breathed on and received the Spirit. They were born again, but yet they needed something beyond the born again experience. They needed the Spirit not just to be in them, but to come upon them. And you can just ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, I want that fullness of the Spirit. I want to be that witness. I want my life to be a life that has lived with you as my focus, and that my life is a reflection of yours. Ask him, and he promises that he will give.
We'll continue with more of our study through the Acts of the Apostles in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian guides us through a lesson entitled Waiting for God's Best. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Promise of Power. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3104. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.